Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys, before we jump into what is going to be an awesome Broncos Winner's Lounge, I want to give a shout out to Solace Meds. Solace Meds will get you in the Winner's Lounge like they always do. And they have incredible deals that you can just stack on top of each other. Most places will say, like, oh, you can't use that coupon with the sale. Well, they'll let you do that there. They'll let you combine the code DNVR20 with 25% off Canamerica gummies, 20% off strains tinctures, 25% off rocking cartridges, and 20% off Glacier concentrates. Again, take those deals, add another 20% on top of it, and when you mention that code DNVR20, they're going to hook you up with a free Solace bar or King Cone. So get down to Solace Meds. They have four convenient locations, including one in Fort Collins, one in Wheat Ridge, one off of Broadway, and one just blocks away from the DNVR bar on East Colfax. It's Solace Meds. Check them out online, SOLACEMeds.com. Ladies and gentlemen, from the esteemed band Pleasure Horse, the legendary Tim E.
My hype man ready over there?
We're ready.
All right.
Number one for the one and only DNVR. Two goes out to Zach Mace, RK, and the bar. Three for Mr. B in that old trophy case. Number four we're still waiting for. Well, bring on the chase. Out on the field at Mile High, Broncos win is our desire. Coupled with a break, brew and a friend, bleed orange and blue till the bitter end. Come and join us at the DNVR. We are DNVR.
Woo! There he is! Hell yeah, man, that is awesome. Pleasure Horse live in studio for a Broncos Winner's Lounge.
Hell yeah.
Can you give me a boat horn?
Honk.
No.
Well, I don't know what it is. Isn't that the sound of the boat? Oh, like that.
Yeah, air
that's
horn.
Not a boat. Yeah.
Air, horn.
Air horn's way different than boat
horn. You should have known. Have you never been in a winner's lounge before?
I mean,
I know the buffs aren't great.
Oh,
but.
My goodness. No, air horn is totally different than boat. Have you heard a boat
I'm sorry.
Before?
I misnamed the horn. I just thought you would
you
know what I was talking about.
You just put me in a bad spot. No, of course not. I did what you said.
So what's so funny about this moment, other than that, moment right there.
Heard
is
a
that
French
there,
horn?
There's an old legend that Tim from Pleasure Horse is Zach. And there's this whole thing about how, like, we've never seen them in the same place at the same time. And it just so happens that on the day that Zach has a wedding to be at,
a wedding,
Tim is here in studio. Can you explain
how's
this?
How does it happen? I don't know.
How was the wedding, Tim?
I can't say. I cannot say.
Tim, do you do weddings? Have you ever played a wedding?
Oh, yes. Many, many.
Oh, that's awesome.
If I ever get married, you're my guy.
Hell well, yeah. If.
If. Big if.
We really appreciate you coming through. Can you give us a little lowdown? This is your first time at the DNVR bar, right? Or at least for a game.
Second time, yes. Actually. I was here week one last year.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, that doesn't really count.
It was, like, yeah.
25% capacity.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
What'd you think?
Great environment. Really good Cobb salad.
Hell yeah.
Had a great time.
We always start the show with our biggest takeaway from the game, so I'll just get yours. What is your biggest takeaway from the game?
Beat the Jags.
Yeah, there you go. It's a dub. Yeah. It's a dub. Well, thank you so much. Look at him rocking the OG BSN Broncos shirt. That's I think only like 25 people in the world have that.
Yeah, I'm one of them too. So. We could have been matching right? if I'd known.
It's probably better that this way.
That's what everybody always says.
It's pretty awesome, man. Well, thank you for hanging out, and we'll see you after the show.
Hell yeah. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there he is. Tim E. from Pleasure Horse. You got to check him out because Pleasure Horse just dropped a new album not that long ago. It's awesome. You guys hear them on our show every single day. I get messages pretty much weekly being like, dude, what is that song at the end of the show? Mm-hmm. That is Cottonwood Mile from Pleasure Horse. It's awesome. They're awesome. He's awesome. And that was awesome.
It was very awesome. A lot of awesome happening.
And that leads me into my biggest takeaway from the game, Hank, which is Teddy Bridgewater. The dude is really, really good.
He is.
Right now.
Yep.
Obviously got to keep it rolling, but he has been making plays. He's making throws. Get the hell out of here with anything about how he can't push the ball. Now, yeah, is it going to be more difficult to complete those passes against better teams? Sure. But we now know he can make the throws. What was it, 63 yards in the air to Cortland? Yep. On the heels of that is, of course, the new shirt alert. You might recognize him. The Teddy Two Gloves shirt. We absolutely love this. With the strut that we very much less than perfected before the tailgate.
Should I bring that up?
What we got?
Should
wrong?
We see that again? What?
I mean,
I'm down.
We're
Why
already
not?
Embarrassed Why enough. Not? We might as well be embarrassed a little more.
It's you like can... a heel to toe thing that I was totally missing. Oh. It's always heel to toe, right on line, and that's what we really screwed up.
You know what I was missing?
Swag,
rhythm of
oh,
any kind.
Okay, yeah.
I think Similar. I have swag.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have rhythm.
Okay.
Yeah,
I see it. Yeah.
I can't dance. Mm-hmm. Never really been my thing. I guess I have like musical rhythm, not of the likes of Pleasure Horse, but mm-hmm. you know I can keep a beat a little bit.
Okay.
I do have it. Do we want to show the people?
Just play the damn thing.
Okay.
Yo, let's go. Walk. Come on.
Oh.
Henry is my favorite part of this.
Yeah, because I put my shoulders back.
Oh goodness.
You have more. I think you have more shoulder flexibility than me.
Yeah, you guys are very rigid, straight up and down.
I kind of have a bad back.
Then what are we doing making a dance bit?
So many days doing the Bernie in my youth, you know?
Oh, God.
That was during your youth?
Yeah.
Wow. I've heard about the Bernie.
Yeah, this is a big one.
Yeah.
I think I got a couple of vertebrae out of place for it. Okay, but anyways, get the shirt. Mm-hmm. Check it out. And Teddy Bridgewater, man, playing like a winning quarterback.
For sure. You know, what did I say before the game? Like what does it take today for Teddy to be somebody that the fan base just totally buys into?
Said 350, right?
I said 350.
What do you have?
328.
Ooh,
it's
so
like, yeah, he was so close.
So we're not there
Just get
yet.
A little bit more. Get one more touchdown. Just one more little piece. Like, Cortland Sutton brings in that ball in the end zone, something like that. It would have been enough to go over the top. But still, it's like, okay, we look really good. Teddy looks really good. Through 2 weeks against two bad teams, just got to see it play out just a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, you absolutely have to see it play out a little bit more. And look, the final score here doesn't, like, get you out of your seat by any means. 23-13 over the Jags.
For sure.
We all expected more, especially we did our Broncos predictions during the Thursday show on the podcast, and I think all of us had them scoring over 30 points.
Yep.
Now, if they wanted to do us a favor, they could have punched the ball in at the end, but, you know, sportsmanship and all that jazz. I'm very against it.
NFL would have just, like, find every player on the field if they'd gone for a touchdown.
Well,
there.
I just think, like,
they're so anti-fun.
Vic Fangio, like, give Urban Meyer a little welcome to the NFL middle finger.
Exactly. That's what football's all about.
Yes. Football is about taunting. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, stop throwing flags on taunting.
What are we doing? It's sports. It's sports.
I know.
Like, this isn't... I'm not like the participation medals need to go away guy. But, like, at some point, I get on that side of things, and this is one of them. Like, you know, you can't wag a finger at somebody. You can't look at them after a tackle.
My least favorite narrative is like, but the kids. And I'm like, we should be teaching kids that if you're competing with someone,
then stomp their face into the dirt.
And you beat their ass, you should taunt them.
Yes, they deserve to be taunted. They're losers.
Yes.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are all losers.
We're raising kids the wrong way altogether.
Oh, God.
Yes.
I really love to hear this information from you, Ryan. We do have a $20 super chat that I want to get to.
Oh, baby. Super chat from DTL. Three things real quick. O-line is eh. Refs making up all the flags they didn't throw last year. And we just can't keep our wide receiver ones or LB1s on the field at the same time. Yeah, what a shame.
Thank you for the super chat. We appreciate you.
Thank you much for the super chat. What a shame Bradley Chubb doesn't finish the game again. To me, it's – we'll see what happens. But to me, it's like a why'd you rush him out there for the Jags?
Yeah, fair.
It's an ankle that they said, so we'll see what happens. Same ankle. I hate that. I just hate that that happened when it was the Jags. I know you can't necessarily operate like that in the NFL. Like, as soon as you say it's just the Jags, you'll get beat by the Jags. Mm-hmm. But I think you could have been a little more tactical with it. I don't want to go bad vibes quite yet, or ever really. But we might have to talk about some criticisms later. So for me, it was Teddy. What was your biggest takeaway from the game?
I'm going to go Vaughn. Vaughn is just so good. He's still – it's inarguable that he is a top 10 defender in the NFL, and I would make a strong case that he's top 5. And for 2 years, people were writing him off, saying like, oh, he's hurt. Oh, he had like 8.5 sacks, whatever it was before that. He is still one of the very best pass rushers. And just watch him out there. I mean, there were a couple plays he was in the backfield, but the one sack he got where he gets chipped, Draymond has like this like inside type of move. And Vaughn doesn't, like, rush and try to get around the edge pick. No, he sees it develop, sees a hole develop, just bang, right through there, right onto the quarterback. And he is just so, so, so valuable. Extend him now. Get this deal done. Keep it going.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's spicy, but, I mean, he looks like Vaughn of old.
Yeah.
And he's extremely disruptive. He got chipped on a play, and he got double-teamed and still got a hit on Trevor Lawrence, forced an errant throw, like, he's just an absolute freak. There's nothing you can really do about him. And it's so exciting to see him back. Hopefully, at some point, you get to see him and Chubb on the field together for, like, I don't know, give me a 4-game stretch. Is that so much to ask for?
It is.
I guess so. And then, you know, obviously, Cortland and Judy. And we'll talk a lot more about Cortland here in a second. Mm-hmm. But it's you're right. I mean, he's such an important part of this defense. He disrupts the passer all the time. I mean, he's always disrupting passes, and it's awesome to see him. I think there was really some really good performances across the board. I thought you really saw the secondary flex their muscles today. As that was one thing people are – I don't know if the word is complaining. People were saying last week, like, well, if there's one thing, the secondary wasn't as impressive as we wanted them to be. Mm-hmm. I think those people are feeling much better today.
I think that's fair. You know, I still wonder if there's like a true number one lockdown corner in the group. I think you know that you have depth. I think that, you know, we saw Kyle Fuller get beat over the top again today. And that's something that we've seen a couple of times now. Patrick Surtain, we kind of got the full experience. He got beat on the pass interference where he didn't get his head around.
Yep.
Something that he will get figured out in the future.
Yep.
But as a rookie, he's going to make those sorts of mistakes. At the same time, he gets the interception later. And I think that's kind of what you expect from him. Do you have that true number one eraser type? I'm still not sure, but what is that you have a few guys who are at the very least very good number two corners.
Yeah, and you know, you look back at this game, and so they get the Broncos on the script, and they give up that touchdown. It's a double move, Marvin Jones. It's a nice play. You'd like Kyle Fuller to get his hand on that. Sometimes great throw, great route.
Yep.
You give it up.
It happened last week too.
After that, the offense was done.
For sure.
I mean, Tom McMahon, shout out to you. You had to get your name mentioned on the show. They give up the kick return later. I mean, you know, Spencer was kind of saying this, and I'm sure it's what everyone's saying. He was saying it down on the bar, which is like, you have Brandon McManus just kick it out the back.
Yep.
And I don't know if that was a miss hit or, I mean, they returned the first one too. Jamal Agnew is no joke.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the better kickoff returners in the NFL. So you would think the game plan going into a game where you know the offense can't beat you would have been to kick it out of the back. Obviously, it's humid there. It was raining for a little while. I don't know if they weren't able to or if that was a strategic thing. If it was a strategic thing, it was dumb as hell.
Definitely dumb as hell if that was a strategic thing. Just, I mean, they added a couple guys who are good special teamers. That was kind of the point of the very end of that offseason where they're figuring out the final two guys on the 53. And this happens. And that's just brutal to watch. And it can't happen. If you give up one kick return touchdown in a season, that is a bad kick coverage season.
It's so true.
And there you are. And if you give up another, then all of a sudden, like, where do you go from bad?
Like, oh, no. Like, apparently, Tom McMahon can't be fired. So I don't know.
I guess.
But the problem is this will cost you games against good teams.
Yep.
Luckily for the Broncos, they don't have to play a good team next week either.
Yep.
But eventually they will have to play good teams, and you have to be better on special teams. So, I didn't want to go into the critiques, but they just pop up. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to talk about this guy any longer. He's the DraftKings king of the game. He's Courtland Sutton, and he was the Courtland Sutton of old. That is Teddy Bridgewater, but that's okay. he couldn't have done it without Teddy Bridgewater, which
True.
Is why.
I'm sorry. The right picture didn't actually save.
No worries. Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, good job getting the ball to Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton, amazing job catching those balls and making big plays. Now, he probably could have had, I don't know what, two more really big plays.
Yeah, easily.
He gets tugged on once. He gets pushed out of bounds, kind of. That could have been a touchdown. But he's like a couple catches away from a 250-yard receiving game.
Yeah.
I mean, three touchdowns.
And the thing is, he's not at full strength.
No.
Like, you could tell. I mean, that one third down catch he had on the sideline where Teddy's kind of rolling out, gets it to him late. And it just takes him so long to get going. Like, it was kind of incredible. And then he just can't make a move on guy. And I don't want to, like, criticize him. He obviously had a great game, but there's still more in the tank. And the fact that he was able to do what he did today, be a true number one,
it.
Who,
there we
you
go.
Know, Teddy was going to him on third downs. Like, it's a very good sign that you're seeing this out of him when he's not at his best.
Nine catches for 159 yards, man. That's wide receiver one. Dominant type stuff. The 17.7 yard average is like true deep threat number, but he had nine catches. That's like true possession receiver number. 159 is just like Julio Jones types of numbers.
Yep.
Really, really impressive stuff from Courtland. And what a relief, because you come out of last week with Jerry going down and you're saying, okay, well, we like our wide receiver depth. But who's the guy? Who's the guy you go to when you need one? Obviously, you can count on Tim Patrick. You hope you can count on KJ eventually. You feel like you can count on Noah. And you absolutely can count on Courtland, but he was still a question mark
for
coming
sure.
into this game. Last week, wasn't one catch for 14 yards? And you're like, okay, he's not there yet. And like you mentioned, he's not 100%.
No.
I wouldn't even go over 80, I don't think.
I think that's fair. I mean, just the way that he caught that ball and turned up field, it was like he was moving in quicksand. And I don't know what was going on there, but that is just a play that makes you think there's more room for growth.
Yeah, and if you remember, back in that sophomore season, they were using him on, like, there was, like, a third and short. They used him on an end-around. Like, explosive, you know, short area speed and power that I'm not seeing yet. He clearly still has the long speed.
Yep.
And if that play happens four times a game, count me in
for sure.
I've been saying that since he got here, so just a huge relief to see Courtland look like Courtland. And this Broncos offense really needed it today, because outside of Courtland, the numbers won't impress you. It's Melvin Gordon, two catches for 38 yards. Tim Patrick, three catches for 37. Noah Fant, four for 33. Albert O, four for 24, and then a couple guys with one. No one blew you away today except Courtland, and he was dominant.
It was honestly a pretty disappointing day from everybody else. You know, Tim Patrick, I thought that there would be more from him. And you know, really the difference, because what did he wind up with? 3 for 37. There's that one ball that just goes up and gets him in both hands. It was on a third down on the sideline. It's a tough catch. But what makes Tim Patrick so special is that he's somebody who has a big catch radius, who brings in everything that's close to him. And he didn't bring that one in. And if he did, that's what, another 15 yards? It gets him up to four catches, 52 yards? Then all of a sudden you're like, yep, he's within that range you needed. KJ, You just got to get more out of him. You just got to get more because he had opportunities and just it didn't work out. The good news is he's going to get a lot of reps over the next couple of weeks with Jerry Jeudy out. And hopefully by the end of that, you're starting to see him finish games with 3, 4, 5 catches instead of just the one that he put up.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we got plenty more to talk about, mm-hmm. including our helmet stickers here mm-hmm. in the next segment. But before we get there, I got to give a helmet sticker to Breckenridge Brewery. If you watch the tailgate, you notice that we very much enjoy Breck Brews.
I've got a headache.
No matter the time of morning, you've got the day drinking come down headache.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah, that's
it's
always brutal. A tough one. Your problem was that you stopped.
I had that one shot because we spun the wheel.
Yes.
With the Tim Patrick touchdown.
Oh, right.
Yep. And so that free shot, it kept me going, but it didn't. I don't think it was helpful.
That was epic. If you come down to the DNVR bar for a game, what we do is before the game, we write a bunch of scenarios on a wheel. Mm-hmm. You might know it as the Wheel of Darkness.
Yep.
In this case, it's the Wheel of Destiny.
It has a lot of names.
Yes,
a lot
it
does. Of purposes.
And we spun it before the game, and it was Tim Patrick touchdown. And if that thing occurs, everyone in the bar gets a shot. So, Tim Patrick, mm-hmm. shout out to you for the shots. We much appreciate them. And shout out to everyone who came down to the DNVR bar and took advantage of that. Anyways, Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR, the best beer in the world, I would argue. Mm-hmm. And we pretty much drink them all the time. Also, speaking of Breck Brews, get your tickets now for next week. How it's going to work is you're going to come to the bar at 10 a.m. When you get to the bar at 10 a.m., you're going to watch us finish up the tailgate. When the tailgate finishes up, there's going to be a bus here. The bus is going to take you from here to the DNVR tailgate at the stadium, which is going to be an absolute riot.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a great, great time for everyone. And you can bring to-go drinks on the bus, which is a sweet little bonus that you can do there. And then at the tailgate, there will be plenty of Breck Brews. Also catered by Sexy Pizza, which I can't wait to get in on some of that Sexy Pizza.
Yep.
It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. It's really cheap, too, like cheaper than an Uber one way, probably from here to the stadium for a round trip. And that's the other best part. After the game, you'll go back to around the tailgate spot. The buses will come pick you up from there and bring you back to the DNVR bar so you can come hang out here for Sunday Night Football or just get, you know, back in your car after you've had some time to chill out a little bit. Please drive safely if you do that. But that's going to be awesome. And finally, I want to give a shout-out to Chevalier Mortgage. You can call Mike in Virginia at 303-257-6578. Buying a home is kind of a scary place to be right now. There's a lot going on in the home buying market. And you want to have some people that you can trust. And you can absolutely trust Mike and Virginia Chevalier to help you with your mortgage situation. They're going to look at your full financial picture and get you set up for success so you can get into a house that you love while keeping it inside of your budget. That's Mike and Virginia Chevalier, Michael Chevalier, NMLS number 1931006, and Virginia Chevalier, NMLS number 1910631. All right, Henry. I will give you the honors here on helmet stickers. Now, the way this works, you don't have to give a helmet sticker to the king of the game. He already got one. He got a whole king sticker on top of his helmet.
I think you got to go Teddy.
Yeah.
Another really solid performance. And, I mean, when's the last time a quarterback for the Broncos, like, put together back-to-back performances the way Teddy has? I mean, what is that? That's 78% completion last week, 76.5% this week. 264, then 328, 4 touchdowns total, no interceptions that stretch. He is playing as well as any quarterback since Peyton Manning in Denver.
And most yards I don't since think Peyton it's close. Manning 2013 through 2 games.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's believable, though.
Yes, absolutely. It is, and you have to be really, really encouraged. I mean, we're so encouraged we dropped a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
For me, number one helmet sticker goes to Kareem Jackson.
That's a good one.
He was a freak out there. I swear, I don't know what it is. I don't know if the Broncos can trace this. There's like something he eats before certain games or something he does before certain games where he looks like he's playing in fast forward.
He does.
While the rest of the entire field is playing in regular speed. He was incredible today. He gets the interception, but if you just watch, like when that all 22 comes out, you will see KJ Hamler travel like 10 miles in this game. He was just all over the field at
Kareem
all times.
Kareem
What did I say?
KJ Hamler.
Oh, wow. Yeah. KJ, Kareem Jackson.
Yeah.
You'll see Kareem Jackson travel, like, all over the field. He was incredible, sideline to sideline. And that interception, yep. Just reading Trevor Lawrence's eyes. He knew it was going there before the receiver even knew it was going there.
Yeah. I mean, the pick was great. There was the play where Trevor Lawrence threw the ball basically into, like, triple coverage, and somehow the ball got all the way to the receiver, and Kareem's just flying in there like a missile and knocks it out. There's the play where Kareem is being blocked by an offensive lineman. He's the only defender on that side of the field. The running back's coming that way. Somehow Kareem gets off him and stops it for, like, a 5-yard gain instead of 40. He made so many plays.
That might have been the play of the day.
It might have been, because that would have changed some things.
Right. I thought that was, like, I obviously you got to see what was left on the backside.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was potential house call if he doesn't make that play.
It looked like it. Yeah, that's a good call on Kareem Jackson. I'll go Von Miller next. I basically shared my thoughts about him earlier, but, I mean, in particular, a game where you're playing Trevor Lawrence, a rookie quarterback, to be able to be in the backfield consistently, put pressure on him. I mean, I didn't get to see the game last week. With Jacksonville's offensive line, I wouldn't be surprised if he was getting beat up all game. But he hasn't seen somebody like Von Miller yet. And to feel what that's like, to have somebody right there on you every single time, that can't be easy. You know, and even the plays where it's like there's pressure up the middle and Von knows to just sag back and take this angle and force him in. There's just so many veteran plays that he makes that even if they don't result in sacks, they create pressure. They stop Trevor's ability to roll out of the pocket and extend plays. He played so well, and he just looks so good through two games. He looks like he did 5 years ago.
Yeah, he really does. He looks completely refreshed, mm-hmm. You know, and maybe that year away from the game not only refreshed his body, but refreshed his mind, you know. Like,
yep.
All that losing takes a toll, mm-hmm. And he looks like a guy who's ready to win this year, and it's obviously paying off so far. All right, I'm going to give a hybrid helmet sticker here. Because two guys really stood out. They play the same position. First to Josie Jewell, who came into the game with his hair on fire. Not a redhead pun. Mm-hmm. And had three solo tackles. He had two tackles for loss already in the first quarter. And then he gets hurt. And it's kind of a scary moment there for the Broncos just because he was so good early. And You're like, okay, well, there could be a big drop-off here. They bring in Justin Cernan, who I didn't think was going to be a big drop-off, and he wasn't. He ends up being tied for the team lead in tackles with 6-4 solo tackles. He split a tackle for loss with Vaughn. They don't split tackles for losses in the stats, and so obviously the stat keeper is going to give that to Vaughn, but he was right in there as well. And I just felt like he really came in, and for his first ever extended action in an NFL game, was very solid. So like I said, you know, to come in there, the two of them combined for 10 tackles, including 7 solo, and just the combination of them I thought was really big for the Broncos today.
Yeah, they were solid. Josie in particular, you know, I don't know, he is limited, and we know he's limited, but if you want him to cover a running back in the flat, he can do that. You know, if he's being forced to backpedal and cover guys downfield, maybe not. But what was so nice is he had those couple of tackles for loss, and I think they were both on those little swing passes where he was able to just read that those swing passes were coming, and it's not a super physically demanding job. You know, you're not being tasked with sprinting with an athlete. You just see it develop, and you're out there, and you make the tackle. And that's what he can provide. And if he can do that steadily, then he's a valuable linebacker, and that's what he's turned into. Whereas before, you know, he wasn't consistently making those sorts of plays. And so the fact that he couldn't provide more in coverage, it came up often because you just needed more out of him. And he has kind of found his role. He's been physical. He's making plays on punt coverage because he's just found a feel for the NFL game. And he is a valuable piece of this Broncos defense. And that's not something I thought I would be saying a couple of weeks or a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think this will be my last one, and then Okay. Do you have one more after that? How many have you given out?
I've given out...
Three. Teddy, Vaughn, and Jewel.
No,
you were talking... Okay, you were talking off the back of mine. Okay, so Yep. It's your turn.
It is. I honestly don't have another...
Really? I've got one more.
Okay, what is it?
Javonte Williams.
Okay.
They are being very, very careful about splitting these carries. In fact, it's back-to-back weeks with them almost having the exact same amount of touches. Javonte Williams today doubles up Melvin Gordon in terms of yards on the exact same amount of carries. Javonte goes 13 for 64. That's a 5-yard average. Melvin Gordon goes 13 for 31. That's a 2.5-yard average. Javonte, to me, it's only a matter of time. Only a matter of time before he's the starter in the, in that backfield.
I agree. And he crossed my mind for a helmet sticker, but just not quite enough there for me. I respect it. But there's also stuff like, you know, the third and eight that he picked up where they're handing him the ball because the defense is so wide open. And good on him for being able to pick up a third and eight in the running game, but also the C's kind of parted there. And that is one where it's very different from, you know, lining up under center with two tight ends and picking up the 9, 10 yards, whatever he did on that play. Definitely some promising things. I mean, was it the first run of the game that he had that stiff arm that threw another 6 yards on to the end of the run? There's so much that's encouraging. But there's also stuff like, I think it was a 3rd and 1, not a 4th and 1, where it was him going up the middle, and he just didn't run hard. He ran right to the gap, and there were two defenders there, and it just didn't work. And maybe that isn't on him. But yeah, there's still just a couple of those mistakes in there.
Yeah, for me, that's a teaching moment where you just tell him, hey, dude, when it's that short of yardage, it's okay to run into the back of someone and just push.
Just push.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely promising.
Yeah, he decelerated, and that changed the whole play. Okay. I want to get to... Wait, I feel like there was something else I wanted to say. I don't know. Oh, the pass pickup. The pass block pickup.
Yeah.
Play of the day from him for me. Big blitz coming from the Jaguars, and he pops someone. And then a couple plays later, Albert O gets a catch down the field, and out of nowhere, Javonte just comes in full speed and just bulldozes someone in front of him. So I love his, like, just bulldozer, you know, bulldog mentality. He looks like he's out there to pop people when he's out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, I want to get into, I guess, a little bit of the critiques now. You know, when you beat the Jags by 10, even though that's a cover, you know, good teams win, great teams cover. Broncos covered both weeks so far.
Yep.
It didn't feel great. So I don't know if the vibes can really be immaculate after you only beat the Jags by 10. What critiques do you have of the team today? What are your biggest ones?
To me, it's the running game. They just couldn't get it going. And I think that that's kind of what we've seen through a couple weeks. I mean, what? 30 carries, 96 yards. 3.2 yards per carry. They're not lining up and running on the Jaguars, and the Jaguars are a really bad defense. That's concerning to me. As great as Teddy has looked, I mean, they're going to have to throw the ball a lot going forward until this offensive line can figure out how to create holes, because it does kind of seem like whenever something good is happening in the running game, it's because one of these running backs is breaking some tackles. And I guess last week's numbers are kind of skewed because of Melvin Gordon's 70-yard touchdown run at the end, which all credit to them. They did that, and so it counts in the stats. But outside of that, they had 26 rushing yards. And some,
it's really bad.
When once you get done with this Jets game next week and you play the Ravens the week after that, you play the Steelers the week after that, things could get pretty ugly if they can't get something figured out on the ground.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you don't take away the 75-yard run, but you can't act like – there's a big difference between averaging 5 yards a carry on 5 yards per carry or averaging 2 yards per carry and then busting a big one. And that's kind of the way that was. And while, you know, I'm a big believer in don't take away the best thing.
Yep.
In terms of this conversation, it really does matter. You'd much rather get 5 yards a carry, literally averaging 5 yards every time you touch the ball, than that.
Yep.
I think you're right there. For me, it was pass rush. There's a lot of plays out there where the Jags were daring the Broncos to get after Trevor Lawrence, and they weren't able to. And and it, you know, if anyone has a big critique of this Jags team, it's probably that offensive line. And there's just like, if they line up five wide, someone should be getting hit in the quarterback should be getting hit in the chin.
Yep.
And he wasn't. Too many times where he was clean back there. Obviously, Vaughn, you know, did his part. The rest of the defense, I don't think really did theirs.
I agree. Specifically, Shelby Harris and Draymond Jones.
Yeah.
You know, those are the guys that you kind of rely on. I mean, obviously, top of the list after Vaughn is Bradley Chubb, but he wasn't out there for most of the game. And so it does kind of turn to Shelby Harris and Draymond Jones, and they weren't able to provide the pressure that we expect from them at this point. Yeah, it's kind of simple as that. and it just needs to change going forward.
Do you know what the third down numbers were off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, no. I would guess...
Guess for each team.
Okay, Broncos. How many third downs do they have? Give me
that. Each team had 11 third downs.
I'd say the Broncos picked up 8. How'd I do?
Terrible.
Dang it. And then the Jaguars picked up 3.
Okay, so I'm glad you were very wrong, but I'm glad that you were very wrong because it builds to my point. The Broncos were 2 of 11 on third down.
Really?
Yeah.
It felt like they were moving the chains.
But they were moving the chains with big plays.
And on second
first and
downs,
second down.
Yeah.
And that's a big critique for me. 2 of 11 on third down will just never get it done against anyone but the Jags and maybe the Jets and maybe the Giants last week.
And they did have some third and longs, too, now that I think about it.
Yep.
There were quite a few times it was third and 11, third and 13. You're just hoping something good happens.
Yeah, and the Jags, honestly, I tip my cap to them in terms of their defensive game plan, which was take away short throws from Teddy.
Mm-hmm.
I think they thought he can't push the ball like everyone else has been saying, and then he just pushed it right down their faces.
Yep. Quarterback's peak at 31, and he's still a few years away from that.
He is still a few years
still
away
adding.
From that. So the Jags were 4 of 11. The Jags were better on third down than the Broncos were. That's just not good enough. I do give some credit to their defense. I thought they played smart in terms of the way they thought they were going to defend Teddy Bridgewater. But Teddy Bridgewater goes off for 300 yards because they were exposed over the top.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question for you, and you might have seen the same tweet.
Okay. I haven't seen any tweets.
Oh, good. Broncos gave out 3 game balls.
Oh,
who do you think they went to?
That's so funny. Zach did this to me last week.
Oh, no way.
Okay. One to Teddy.
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude throws for over 300, 2 tuds, no interceptions, can't get a game ball.
Nope.
Okay, so they're trying to spread the love around here. Cortland.
Yep. 2 more.
Can you tell me if 2 are on offense or 2 are on defense?
2 on defense.
Okay. All right. So we're done with offense. That's garbage that Teddy didn't get one. Okay. 2 defenders got game balls. Pat Surtain.
Mm-hmm.
And Kareem?
Yep.
Okay.
Pretty good picks.
Yeah. I guess if I would have... Well, I would have said Teddy over Pat Surtain. Yeah. Over Pat Surtain.
That's how but
his game ball is the game ball that he intercepted.
Sure.
Like, he's going to keep that one anyway.
But that's fair. But at the same time, it's a rookie getting his first interception. Almost never will that guy not get a game ball.
Right. I know, but like, he
just
actually,
that's just the way it goes.
But he doesn't need a game ball. He literally has he's taking home with him a ball that was used in the game.
Maybe that's the one. Maybe that they'll write all the stuff
engrave
on that
it.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they probably will. Great for him. And again, you know, it was a little bit unfair, I think. I don't know if unfair is the word. The expectations set on Pat Surtain from the second that he walked into that building were really intense.
Yep.
Really, really intense. Oh, my God. The Cardinals just got the most wild 50-yard play you'll see. It got double-tipped right into the hands of the tight end. Anyways.
Max with 2 X's.
He comes in, and everyone's just like, oh, yeah, you just put that guy out there, and he's Champ Bailey from day one. And it's like... Whoa. Like, that's just not how this works. He has some adjustment to do. But speaking of adjustment, his adjustment on the ball, when that ball was in the air, was elite.
Yes.
You want him to turn around. That was probably the one. I think if you talk to Dre, he'll tell you the one knock on Pat Surtain's tape. He doesn't always get his head around. Mm-hmm. It's just something you learn when you're not scared of what's going to happen if you do. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So many guys don't want to look back because they're afraid if I look back and it goes right over my head, it's a touchdown.
For sure. And, you know, that was his mistake today. Last week, he gave up the touchdown. And that's, again, just kind of what you expect from a rookie corner. Any really good rookie corner, there's going to be that one play a game where you're just like, up into a point. And I think that point is probably before the start of next season. The question is whether he can kind of clear that up sometime this year and turn into one of those top-tier kind of guys this season, because like I said, that's what I really think is missing from this Broncos defense, is just a true number one lockdown corner instead of a bunch of really, really good, like, you know, 89 overall Madden rating corners.
Exactly. Yeah, it's true that 89 is probably even too high. It's
maybe
like 85, 84, 85, bunch of those guys. Which
they
is
started
a,
rating everybody lower in that game.
Right. It's a really, really valuable thing to have.
For, absolutely. Absolutely. There's
but
just,
you're right.
If you have one guy who you can, you know, throw on DeAndre Hopkins and be like, ah, we might still be giving up 60 yards this game, but at least we aren't helping him out while doing it.
And they're a little bit fortunate in their first two games. Well, I mean, you know, it was it Shepard? Yeah, Sterling Shepard, yeah, who kind of went off on them in the first game.
Yep.
That's the best receiver they've maybe DJ Chark. I guess DJ Chark, is DJ Chark a bona fide number one?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we all agree he's real close to being there, though. He's on his way.
Right. And so that kind of goes to my point, which is they haven't had to face anyone that you need a lockdown corner for yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens when they do. Obviously, so you're not going to get it next week.
Ravens with Sammy Watkins, no.
No, you're not getting it. I mean,
Steelers
Hollywood
with
Brown.
Claypool. Sammy Watkins is better than him.
Right,
me.
He's not a bona fide number one. He's a scary threat.
He's fast. That's what he is.
Yeah, Steelers. Steelers honestly have two guys.
Claypool,
Juju.
Yeah.
So that'll be their biggest test at that time.
I don't give them true number one yet either. Maybe Claypool.
Who's week six? I know you're thinking in a 5-game sample here because you have Broncos to start 5-0.
Plus 1,500. I actually don't know.
You have any buyout on that yet?
I haven't looked. I'm not taking it regardless.
A couple, really quick. Allie, do we know if Mace is coming?
He is not answering.
Okay.
So I'm
not
sure, but I do know the people want Mace, but he has just not responded to me yet.
Well, hopefully we get Mace here in a second, but he's obviously very, very busy man down there in the bowels of the stadium in Jacksonville. All right, well, while we wait for Mace, why don't you guys send in some questions? Allie, favorite the good ones. We'll try to answer some of your questions. But I mentioned DraftKings Sportsbook. No buyout yet?
Nope.
All right. Well, DraftKings Sportsbook, you can bet on just about everything. And it makes watching the game that much more fun.
It does.
As you can see, I'm a little bit distracted watching this Cardinals game in the background. Because I have Cardinals money line.
Yep. Cardinals went down, so I put a bunch of money on them.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Good move. It makes watching sports way more fun. And right now at DraftKings Sportsbook, you can bet $1 on any football market or any football bet if you don't know the lingo. And they're going to give you $200 in free bets paid out in $825 free bets. What's really cool about that is you can kind of just bet around, see what you like. Do you want to bet same game parlays, which have not been a profitable thing for me quite yet? I'm still learning. Do you want to bet on regular parlays? Do you want to bet just clean one-to-one bets? There's a lot of different ways to have a ton of fun at DraftKings Sportsbook, so check them out. And you can also get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when you use the code DNVR. So hit them up. Use the code DNVR. Of course, you must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match. Each up to $500. The deposit bonus requires a 25x playthrough. And restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Also, check out our friends over at Strava Craft Coffee. We've got Strava Craft Coffee on tap here at the DNVR bar. We've got their cold brew here. But you can get it sent straight to your door for 25% off when you use the code DNVR25. That's DNVR25, and you'll get 25% off your Strava Craft coffee, which will get sent straight to your door. It's CBD infused. It's delicious. You guys are going to love it. And finally, speaking of things you guys are going to love and that are delicious, Hassle Cattle Company. We believe in Hassle Cattle Company so much, we put their burgers on our burgers here at the DNVR bar. So if you come to the DNVR bar, if you have come to the DNVR bar and thought to yourself, that's a great burger, well, that's because that burger came from Hassle Cattle Company. It's Wagyu beef, and they call it blue-collar Wagyu beef because it is affordable for every man and woman. Even me, even Henry, we can afford.
Even me.
We can afford Hassle Cattle Company, and you can afford it even more when you use the code DNVR10 at checkout. You'll get 10% off your order, and all orders that go over $200, which, trust me, you'll want that much of this, even though you don't need to buy that much of it, and you'll get a lot of it for that much. You'll get 10% off. $200 orders get free shipping. It's a great, great deal. All right, Allie, what do we have from our people in the questions?
Okay, we have, are you concerned about the lack of pushing in the running game?
Yes. We just kind of talked about that, right, Henry? It's a concerning thing. Not a lot of push, not a lot of holes, not a lot of big gaps out there. It's kind of just an ugly kind of scenario. You're not dominating bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to dominate good teams?
You aren't. They need to get a lot better. And, you know, I've been really excited about Netane Moody before they even drafted him. Like, on the draft podcast, he was one of the guys we were really excited about because he fell because of injuries. He doesn't really have it in pass protection yet. Guys get by him. He can be a little bit streaky in the run game, too. And, you know, I think that's kind of what you expect. And you see this in the offensive line sometimes is guys come in and they just take a few years, especially those late-round picks, to turn into starter-caliber guys. I mean, what? Paradis was that way. Connor McGovern was that way. And you can develop those late-round guys in a way that you can't always at some other positions, or it just doesn't happen as often. And to me, Netane Moody just isn't quite there yet, as excited as you are about him. And when they do get Graham Glasgow back, whenever that is, you know, again, not somebody you're thrilled about and say, oh, he's going to solve all the problems in the front five, but I think that it's at least another step in that direction. You just got to keep figuring it out and see what happens.
Yeah, and my whole thing with Moody wasn't always that he's better than Graham Glasgow now.
Mm-hmm.
My thing was, if you start him, can he be better than Graham Glasgow by week 8, week 12? You know, is that a mm-hmm. risk worth taking? Because he did have some mistakes today. He also had some awesome pull blocks. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, grading the road a little bit out there, which you love to see. But yeah, he's raw. I mean, he didn't play a lot in college.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played a lot yet in the NFL. So, yeah, you want to see more from him. All right, what else do we got?
Okay, we have Peyton Manning here saying, is Courtland back?
Yeah.
Mostly.
Well, like, he's not at 100%,
I know,
but he's
back. That's the thing. He is back, and he's getting better still.
Yeah, I think he can – you hope that he just gets more confident. Like, that's – you hope it's not actual health that's holding him back. It's confidence, because the only thing where I'm seeing – question marks is in the explosion category.
Yes, absolutely.
And is that because he doesn't feel like he can explode, or is it because he's a little bit afraid to explode?
Yep.
Next. Okay, we have thoughts on Cushion Berry's development. Feels like there is a gap, or there's still issues.
Yeah, it feels like the A gaps are still an issue. I just don't know what the answer to this is.
That's where I'm at.
So you can't pull the plug on a guy that early that if you're really confident in him. Now, this comes down to, I guess, this is the answer. What does Mike Munchak think? Does he think, okay, he still needs more time and he's getting there? Or does he think, hey, I think there might be a problem here? If that's where he's at, then you need to take Graham Glasgow.
Yep.
And play him at center.
Yep.
And then let Moody grow.
Totally agree. And, I mean, just looking at the kind of the timeline here, this is Cushenberry's season at center. Unless things get really bad, this is his season at center. Next year, though, is when you start to have Quinn Miners conversations. Is he ready to be the center? Is he more of a guard? And then maybe he fits in somewhere. Same thing with Moody. That's when you start to reevaluate whether Moody's a starter. And so this year, I mean, I'm not thrilled by what I'm seeing from Lloyd Cushenberry, but I do think that this is his job through the season. And then next camp is when there could be a lot of competitions along this line.
And you love that.
You do.
You want there to be competitions, but I am worried about Cush just because we're not, like, I thought a big problem last year is you had a young quarterback and a rookie center. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping, okay, when he doesn't have to make all those calls, those important calls from the line, and when he's not relying on Drew, but he's able to rely on Teddy Bridgewater to put him in position to succeed, I thought mm-hmm. he would start to succeed a little bit more. It hasn't been there yet.
Yep.
So I'm a little bit on a short leash with Cush.
Fair.
Okay, next question we have is, how about Melvin Gordon's 2.4 yards per carry?
Yeah, we talked about that.
We did. It's not good. It needs to change.
It has to change, and change quick. Well, and I don't know if it has to change.
I know.
He needs it to change if he wants to keep seeing the field, because Javonte is clearly has more burst, seems a little bit stronger. The long speed last week on that run was really, really
sure.
impressive. That's the only really impressive run I've seen from Melvin so far.
You just don't see teams go with one running back throughout an entire season.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. And I think even if there is clear separation, and right now I think that there's starting to be some separation. I think at least through week eight, you have this 50-50 split, and then that's where you start to kind of go 75-25 as you build toward the playoffs, and you kind of have your playoff back at that point, who hopefully you haven't run into the ground.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, we have the lead these last few questions. Let's go to Kenny. He says, do we still pursue Aaron Rodgers?
Always.
Let's see.
Andrew was fast on that.
For sure.
Let's see, because as we know with quarterbacking, Tom Brady notwithstanding, at any moment it can just kind of start to fade away. Now, do I think that's happening with Aaron Rodgers after one week? No, that would be a massive overreaction. Yep. But I at least want to see. Sure. I want to see what happens this week. When are they playing right now?
They're tonight. Yeah. With
okay.
The Lions.
So best part about the Broncos playing at 11 is like I'll be home and chilling by the time that game starts. I'll be really excited to see that.
There's no answer to the Aaron question until the off season. That's an off season conversation.
What's crazy though is the Teddy Bridgewater conversation is starting to heat up.
For sure.
And it's definitely not time to say extend him now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a conversation that's going to get louder and louder and louder if he keeps putting out 300-yard games with no interceptions.
It's also worth remembering that he's like 16 months removed from getting a three-year, $63 million contract. And if he's looking this good now, that number is going to go up from $21 million per year. And so those are the numbers you get through at the offseason once you have the full body of work.
Right. We had some people in the comments last week saying like, yeah, give him a three-year, $45 million deal. It's like, no, that's just not how it works anymore.
That's not how it works
with quarterbacks. It's not possible. In fact, if you tried to sign him right now, if you were saying, like, we believe in you, the conversation, like, bottoms out at $21 million a year.
That's what he's making now. I mean, it came a lot in the signing bonus at the very start, but per year, that is what he's making now. And I don't think you look at the last I guess last year wasn't great. So maybe it did go down, and this hasn't been enough to fix the value. But, yeah, that's that number.
Yeah, and I'm even being generous on the low side. The conversation probably starts at $25 million a year, and that's going to make people squeamish.
As it probably should. That's a lot of money.
Should. It's a lot of money, but the quarterback market is now at $40 million a year.
Yeah.
For, you know, the good guys. So you're getting, like, almost half of that.
And so what, Dak is at 40?
Yeah.
And so that means that you can get Teddy at 25 and what the best receivers in the league barely make more
extension than
$15 million. So yeah, I mean, we'll see. Those are off-season
Packers
conversations.
Packers play Monday Night Football against the Lions.
Oh, it's Monday, not
Sunday.
Well,
we'll be watching that one too.
We will.
Okay, we have a few more questions popping in here. I think these are the ones that I have are the last ones. I'm sorry, guys. People keep asking more questions. We've got Christian here saying, Ryan, how excited are you about the Surtain interception? You picked it.
I did. Well, so I said it as my 50-yard field goal on the Broncos show is that Surtain's getting a pick. And then two plays before that pick, I said, I think Trevor's due for another interception right here. And then he threw it. Unfortunately, on the tailgate, my lock of the week was Broncos 3+ interceptions. And if you understand what our lock of the week segment is, you can't have the most scared lock of the week. If you have the most scared lock of the week, then you have to take a shot. Maybe that's how we should tweet out the poll. Who had the most scared lock of the week?
I don't think that we do need to fix it because people clearly don't understand.
No, they don't.
Dre had the hottest take.
Yeah, Dre did have the hottest take and he lost. But super stoked for Pat more than anything. And I just think confidence will be the biggest thing for him. He's a confident dude. He knows he's built for this. But when you go out there and you start making plays, then you start playing more free, then you keep making plays.
Speaking of that, Miles AJ said, what do you think about the rookies' first starts?
So far, so good, right? You know, you're going to have ups and downs, but Javonte looks awesome. Surtain looks awesome.
Caden Stearns had a ball off his hands.
Yeah, Caden Stearns
got out there, though,
which means that they trust him.
Should have caught that ball, but
who else?
We
saw Jonathan Cooper get a couple snaps. He didn't do anything specifically, but so far, so good, I think, for the rookie class.
Yeah.
Okay, then we have talk playoff picture. How important is next week? How many wins do we need to get in?
I've always said 11.
Okay.
11 is the number to get in.
I think you're in with 10. I think if you get 9, you're at 25%.
17 games, though.
Yeah, 9-8.
I don't think that's enough.
With seven teams getting in?
I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
We don't know how it shakes out.
I think if you get 10, you'll be good.
In this new 17-game schedule, I just don't know what it's going to look like. And with seven teams is also relatively new. Nine's not getting it done, I really don't think.
Huh.
But, yeah, 10-ish, we'll say.
Yep.
Is that fair?
And how important is next week? Very important. That's a terrible team. You got to beat them.
I think Zach Wilson threw four picks today.
He had thrown four picks. It could have gone up.
He started the game 0-for-2 with two picks. The Broncos are only going to make life more difficult on him. Although, Bill Belichick is the king of making life difficult on rookie quarterbacks.
Isn't Vic Fangio right up there? I thought he had pretty good stats against them, too.
I'm sure he has pretty good stats. Okay, here you go. Zach Wilson, 19 of 33, 210 yards, four picks, no touchdowns. 6.4 yards per catch. Really rough.
Yep.
Their leading receiver today, Braxton Berrios.
Interesting.
That's Spano's guy.
That is.
So, yeah, there you go. I'd be willing to say must win.
Definitely.
Like, you cannot lose these games. You have to win them.
Nope.
Okay, we have Andrew here asking, at this rate, will Court get extended before Chubb?
Court's out there making plays.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just so tough to tell because it's so early for either of them. And there's definitely, like, the potential for Court to play so well he doesn't get extended.
Like, you know? Just outprices himself?
Exactly. And then, like, we'll just take that third-round comp pick and move on.
Tim Patrick.
Exactly. Yeah,
for $8 million a year or something.
But, yeah, it's tough to say what order these will go. With Chubb, though, he doesn't get extended probably until he contributes. I think that's probably a fair way for them to go. And, you know, if he doesn't contribute, I think there's a real chance. He tests the open market, sees if somebody's going to give him a contract like he has been a contributor just based on his potential, and maybe he doesn't get it and comes back on a cheap deal. Now, obviously, there's still 15 weeks left in the season. That's why these are all off-season conversations.
All right, Henry, how many more questions do we
have? Four.
All right, we got four more questions, and we're going to cut there because I want to play one last fun little game with Henry before we get out of here.
All right, Sutton balled out today. Top 10 offense when Jerry Jeudy comes back? ? From Sean.
It's got to be. Well, need to be able to run 23. The
ball. Need to be able to run the ball.
Yeah, good answer. Mm-hmm. But I think the way that Teddy Bridgewater is throwing the ball right now is going to open up the run.
That's fair.
Something we haven't seen from the Broncos since Peyton was here.
If
the
they aren't
throw
top,
opening up the run.
If they aren't top 10, I don't think it's going to be because of Teddy.
No, man, it's so hard not to be hyped on Teddy right now.
For sure. 22 more yards, and I'd be all the way bought in.
Okay, Blake here says, how many rushing yards for Lamar week 4, running QBs, gash Fangio's defense?
Yeah, it's interesting because Fangio leans towards zone, and zone should be better for running quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you play man, everyone has an assignment, they're all running around, and you're not looking at the quarterback who takes off. So, He should be able to come up with a plan that contains Lamar Jackson. We'll see.
Yep. I think that you got to have a plan, right? Like, Josie Jewell, do we like him with his back turned in coverage? Absolutely not. He's a liability there.
So spy him?
Spy him. Do the Nate Landman thing from the Texas A&M game.
I might want to spy Strnad just because he might have a chance of actually cutting off an angle.
It's tough. Actually, even Strnad, though.
Wasn't there a highlight of that was Chubb. Chubb chasing down Lamar Jackson.
Josie's burst is better than Strnad's burst. Strnad just has more top end speed. And that's why I'm not sure. You probably try them both and neither works.
I don't know if it's necessary that he has better burst. I just think he knows where he wants to go sooner.
That could be.
All right, we have Mark Anthony here in the comments saying, do y'all think that replacing Reisner with Moody when Glasgow is back is a good idea? Reisner has not been playing well since the scheme came in last year.
I'll have to see the film again on this today, but I thought Reisner played well. You know, they went behind him on big downs. So we'll see. Like I said, I don't know. But the answer is no. I don't think Moody is replacing Reisner. I think...
Yeah.
If change is coming, it's Glasgow to center, Moody stays at right. But Moody's going to have to play well enough in this little, you know, tryout for that to need to happen.
I agree.
Okay.
Okay, and the last comment that we have here that I want to bring up is Antonio, who said the bar is popping. It was all day. Shout out to everyone who came to watch the Broncos game here. It was a lot of fun. And the Wheel of Destiny. I don't know if you already talked about that.
Yes,
but the
I
Wheel
did.
Of Destiny hit. Everyone got a free shot. It was awesome.
Yeah, we try to make it really fun if you come down here. And I think if you do come down, you'll have a great time. By the way, I'm going to plug this one more time. We're doing a DNVR tailgate next week. Now, you don't have to ride the bus to go to the tailgate. Anyone can go to the tailgate. There will be a cover fee, but you will get your money's worth in Breck beers and sexy pizza and vibes.
So much pizza. I'm going to eat
vibes.
So much pizza.
All
so much pizza. So much vibes. And so what you can do, though, is come down to the bar at 10 a.m., watch a little bit of the tailgate, the show, then go. Oh, my God. What a play by Kyler. Then go on the bus all the way to the game. Come to the tailgate. Hang out there, then get a ride back here. There's a bunch of ways to enjoy it. It's our first tailgate in 2 years. Mm-hmm. I really expect it to absolutely pop off. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people know where to tailgate before a Broncos game.
Yeah.
If I had tickets, I wouldn't know where to go except for now to us. So I think that's a cool thing where you guys can, anyone can come hang out at the tailgate. Anyone can come on the bus, too, as long as you get a ticket before it sells out. So go get yourself a ticket. We've tweeted out the link. I've tweeted out the link. Hit me up directly if you need me to send you the link. But it's going to be an awesome time. All right, Henry. We are going to finish. We want to finish with immaculate vibes.
Okay.
So give me your hottest Broncos take right now.
The thing
that you are feeling the strongest, but it is a pretty strong opinion.
Passing game is top five with Jerry Jeudy.
In the league.
In the league.
Woo, that is hot.
Yep. You still need the running game to come along. I think that was the first one that came to mind. Secondary could be another. Again, I think it's probably the same thing. Secondary is top five in the league. With get that one guy who you trust to lock people down, and I would really hope it was Kyle Fuller, and he's gotten beat twice in two games, and that's just not a thing that happens. If you get that one guy who is just an eraser out there, somebody who is like an Aqib Talib or like a Chris Harris, then why can't you be number one? And maybe they can get up there without it, but yeah, I think passing game top five is probably my hottest right now.
Yeah, I mean, they don't look very stoppable, and Teddy has been on point, and that's mine.
Yep.
Teddy Bridgewater to the Pro Bowl.
Okay. I mean, I could see it.
And not on some, like, BS, like, 14
you have
guys.
You have your own Pro Bowl that you make. It isn't about who makes the Pro Bowl. It's about, like, you have to make the Pro Bowl, but it can't be for, like, these reasons. It just has to. But, yeah.
I don't want it because, like, 14 guys dropped out. Okay. They'd rather go to Cabo than to, where is it, Orlando now?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Nobody watches.
I don't want, that doesn't count.
What if Teddy drops out? Does that count?
If he gets a named originally and then drops out,
okay.
It counts.
Okay.
I don't know what you're doing to me right now.
Okay.
Okay. So that's mine, but I really do like. There is definitely such a thing as getting ahead of ourselves on Teddy right now, just because of the quality of opponent. But what I'm seeing is the quality of quarterback play,
yep.
Like the way that he is
moving around
in the pocket, seeing receivers, finding guys open, like directing guys, floating it to them. All of that stuff is really special. I think he's seeing the field at an incredible rate right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that slowing down. There are going to be tougher days. He's not going to throw for 325. By the way, 325 is like a foreign number to me.
Like, Broncos fans.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, how many times have we seen that? Like Drew against the Texans, I think, did it. Trevor Siemian that day against the Bengals, right? He threw for like 400, I think.
Yep.
Anyways. It's kind of a foreign number, so you're not going to see that every time, but the efficiency at which he's completing passes and moving the rock is really special. It's really special. So I've got him going to the Pro Bowl right now. That's my hot take. All right, before we get out of here, I want to give a shout-out to our presenting sponsor, MSU Denver Online, msudenver.edu/online. It's where you can go scope out all they have to offer. Huge thank you to them for supporting the show. And hit them up, msudenver.edu/online, to see all their different programs. There's something for everyone there. Huge thank you to the legendary Tim E for playing our live intro. We're going to have to clip that and send it out. Go get yourself the new shirt. It is absolutely flying off the rack. Maybe our hottest release ever. No joke. So go get you the Teddy Two Gloves shirt. Shout out to Hank for filling in for Zach. I thought you did a commendable job. Shout out to Allie behind the Mac. Great job.
Thank you. People are asking about Mace. He was still in press conferences. So
yeah, sorry.
Just be
Mace
sure to read
busy,
his stuff on the show.
He'll be on the show soon, and we'll get his take on the game. Thank you all for tuning in. Hit us with a thumbs up on your way out, and we'll catch you tomorrow on the DNVR Broncos podcast.